In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Per the intro, you know, that is part of how you shout for joy to the Lord this time of year. So let's say it again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This Sunday is known as Jubilate Sunday, Joy Sunday. Rejoicing is the theme, and with praise to God for his awesome deeds, as it says. You know, when Adam was in the garden, before the fall into sin, there was nothing but pure joy. He and Eve were free, joyful in all that God did, all they had and did with him. And when, in capping off creation, God had made Eve for Adam, that is when Adam gave that loud expression of joy. He said, "This at last is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." And so joy is what you have when something missing is completed, or nowadays, when what is lost has been found, when things are then working as they were made to for ongoing life with our Creator. Joy is what creatures who are restored to their Creator have when they are in harmony with Him. Joy is the free expression of delight and pleasure, so that Adam could go willingly about all that was before him, and he had God's word. He knew he was doing God's work that was abounding. He has joy in it all. You know, if you want to see just a very tangible vestige of the joy that is in creation, you just look outside, go out on any early morning and by any patch of woods, and listen to the birds as they just keep chirping away. You know, you can't tell me that they're doing that as a survival mechanism, as somebody would analyze it right down to a T. No, they're just doing it so excessively because they can. Because they are made as creatures of their Creator, they have joy in being the birds that He made them to be. And they delight in Him according to their own language. They teach us to sing and to know that we have life as creatures, special creatures of God, that He has given His Son for. Now, you and I know what it is also like to not have joy. It's when there is some sort of a division or a separation from your Creator in some way. Sorrow is what the disciples had when Christ was removed from their eyes, when faith was totally lost. But of course, joy returned when He saw them again. Their hearts rejoiced. The new life was beginning. Not just for Jesus, but for them as well. Now they knew they had no fear of death, no fear of any sort of condemnation. They knew God has restored His creation to Himself. That is what He was doing again as the word of Jesus would go out. And that is also the way it is with us. You know, when faith is absent, or when our faith gets diminished for whatever reason, when Christ is lost from our hearts, that's when you lose joy. We could get anxious about feeling as if God isn't in control, and neither are we. Without joy, people might try to find ways of having momentary happiness. But as I've often said, as you've often heard me say, happiness pertains to what is happening. It's only for a little moment, but it can't last without the Lord. It's always tempered. It's short-lived wherever the Lord is lacking. But joy is what you have when you're confident in God, knowing He's working all things for good. And that is what He has pledged to you in His Son, and especially if you are baptized in His name. You know, going right along with the theme of joy, you had to get a kick out of what St. Peter said this morning in the epistle. First of all, we heard Peter say, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from passions of the flesh, which are waging war against your soul." You hear that and you think, well, so much for the fun of this life. We're sojourners, we're exiles, we're abstaining from all passions of the flesh. And then soon after that, he says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to that brutal pagan emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish evil and praise those who do good." But then get this, right in the middle of the epistle, he said, "Live as people who are free." Free. Not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, and servant could be just as easily translated slaves, be subject to your masters with all respect. Did you catch that? He told them, live as people who are free. And yet in the same breath, he called them servants, slaves. And then he also addressed people who were indeed slaves by their vocation. They were bound to earthly masters. They had hardly any hope of freedom as people typically think of it. And yet he said, live as people who are free because you are. You know, that would just totally sound very outlandish to people who don't know the Lord. When someone doesn't know the Lord, someone who doesn't have faith, they think of political freedom, freedom of relative choice to make my life however I feel so inclined to for my own purposes. That's the kind of idea, that's the idea of freedom they have. And those who think that way, they also tend to think that there's all kinds of stuff getting in my way in life. And it's no coincidence that the same people live with all kinds of anxiety and fear. Instead of having this underlying confidence and joy, and knowing that their life has a great meaning and purpose, they despise things that seem to limit or hinder their choosing. But Peter speaks so that even slaves, if not regular people who aren't slaves, who were people who were no less subject and had little control, they are free, he says. How can he say this? Well, it's because of Jesus' conquering of death in your baptism. It means that you not only have to fear the end, you don't only get to not fear death at the end of life, but you can know now that the Lord is working in and throughout creation in every corner, every person's life for good. As you have Jesus, as you have him, knowing that he is your Savior, he is your living Lord who is going to prove the great freedom and life and joy that is yours as you keep with him through all things. The demands of things like your kids, your parents, your family members, the duty and tasks of your job, which can get burdensome, the taxes you owe, or even having a debilitating injury, a fatal accident. They're right in your own family. Are you free? The Lord says, yes, you are. His Christ has paid for all your sins. Your life is in Jesus. And as you keep trusting in him, it's going to turn out for good. This is the particular job also now that he has given you in the world, to go about your work in the freedom that children of God have as part of the household, knowing that all creation, wherever you happen to be stationed, it's all, you can do it all to the glory of God. Your pagan employer, the government that we are under. Yet, as you do your duty according to God's word, you are exercising your freedom. You are a person of freedom, a minister of freedom in the world. Don't go faithlessly complaining or anxious to think that this life has no meaning to it. No, but live as people who are free and confident of a greater future ahead. You know, if you want to see a picture of somebody who was free, you will look no further than Jesus himself. He's, first of all, wrapped, bound up in swaddling clothes, carried about by his mother and his stepdad as they go to Egypt. He's free, nonetheless. Look at him living in Galilee, Jerusalem, under their roof. Look at him in all the events of what we call his passion, including when he is bound in chains and pinned to a cross. He was all the while free, and not only free, but joyful in all of this. Now, this doesn't mean that our Lord wasn't himself angry at certain things or sad at times or that everything was feeling pleasant on his flesh. But he truly was free because he had full confidence and joy in that work in the Father, in everything that the Father had said. And look at how it all turned out. It won perfect freedom, and that is the freedom that God wants you to live in and know that is yours fully in your baptism, you are free as you are living and working with your Creator. Remember how I said it was for Adam? And that joy comes, and when you know you're a beloved creature, then you're going about the work God has set before you and the things that He's given you. Well, Jesus was that way too, despite how all the labor that He was doing, in a certain sense, was killing Him. Jesus was like Adam would have been if Adam had never fallen into sin. See that Adam got plucked from Eden before the fall, but then he got dropped a number of centuries later. Well, that is what Jesus was like. He was like Adam before sin, living now in a world of sin, corruption, thorns and thistles everywhere of various sorts, and very many evils, evil people, and the devil prowling around. Jesus took it all the evil and harm, but kept listening to His Father's voice. And look at how it turned out. Salvation is won because of what the new Adam did. This is the kind of freedom you have. This is the freedom that you have because you are newborn in Christ. And God wants you to maintain that freedom since Christ has taken away the sting of your death and the fear of God's wrath for your sins. Trust in Him. You have it, and you get to exercise it. As a son of Adam, but now a newborn son of God, here in His household, which is the whole world, you have a great degree of latitude with all the gifts and the position that God has given you and put you in. You can make all sorts of decisions, so seek to do so that freedom can be maintained and so that joy can abound. Joy that we have in living with our Creator, restored to Him, hearing His word, living in it. There's joy. That is the only kind of freedom and joy that there is. It's different from what the world thinks. But freedom is in being and living with our Creator, hearing Him. Think of it this way. You know, for Adam, when he was created, God said, "Here, son, here's a piece of land. Now go farm it." And Adam gladly did this for a while until, well, you know. Well, that is when freedom and joy was lost. But Jesus, He gets the same great piece of land, the full corrupt world, thorns and thistles, the devil again prowling around. And the Father said, "Here's a piece of land, son. Go farm it." And that's what Jesus did. He kept the Father's word, knowing that this would have great rewards despite how it looked perhaps like a hopeless cause. But Jesus, He has won freedom for you by giving His life captive to the Father's word so that He could be your servant, the one who releases you from the captivity of sin, hopelessness, and despair. As you heard today, as it was with Adam's counterpart, Eve, before the fall, she would have had pure joy and no sorrow at all in childbirth. But now, since the fall, well, there was going to be pain in childbirth. It was going to be difficulty. And it would be, if she had lost faith in God's word, it would have been nothing but difficult. But she'd have joy in bearing and rearing children through all the sorrow, all the grief. Along the way, there would nonetheless be little joys in having kids, but the big joy she knew would nonetheless be ahead because of the promise God had given her. The Christ was coming. So it is with the evils, the difficulties that you face likewise. Live as people who are free. Live as a colonist of the new creation. A big part of how you do that is, as I've said, hear your Father's word, heed His instructions, discern His wisdom so that you can put it to work in the world in the midst of your vocation. You can't do that if you're going to refuse to hear His word like He told you to do. But we keep hearing His word and learning it so that we can maintain our freedom and our true joy, not be deceived into the way of the devil, but so that we can keep freedom that is in Christ, the genuine freedom we have. It is often Like with the disciples, when we fall impatient or faithless, when we take matters into our own hands, despite what God instructs us, that's when we fall into errors. That's what happened when they didn't see Jesus before them in the little while of the couple days of his passion, despite what Jesus had said, what he told them. Well, as they soon fell into the lies, as Christ was taken from their sight, they denied the Lord. Well, knowing we can be likewise, we also pray for those who have fallen into error, that they may return to the way of righteousness. We prayed, grant faithfulness to all who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's church, that they may avoid what is contrary to their confession, and follow all such things as are pleasing to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we pray for those who have fallen. But the fact is that Jesus forgives you again. He forgives you now. You are restored to him. You can go forth in the freedom and confidence he's given you with wisdom to act in the special part of creation that he's given you, to know that he has good things ahead as you remain with him. It's a joy when you see this, when you know that he who is the truth always prevails, and to know that he has restored you to your Creator. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Christ.